Thank you, Brother David. One, if you don't get excited about stuff like that, there's something wrong with you, I believe. I sure do. And I love that song this evening. Take your Bibles with us over to the book of Proverbs tonight. We're going to try to get back into our swing of studying and just going verse by verse. And I was thinking, as Brother David mentioned, you know, I'm very weary sometimes of saying things like this, because if you're not careful, it's prideful, and I don't want to be prideful. But, you know, I'm thankful that we have a church that's built not upon emotions and not upon entertainment, but the thing that I thank God the most for about our church that God's allowed us to have here on the side of the road is His church. We know that. We base and we surround ourselves with the Bible. Yeah. You know, I like having a good time. I do. I have a good time here. I do. And but I'm glad tonight that the Bible is not foreign to our church. And we got Sunday school teachers that teach out of a Bible. And they study. And they seek God's face. And they stand and proclaim truth. I've been in churches that the teacher didn't do anything but stand up and take a quarterly and just read. I'm capable of reading myself. I want somebody that's prayed, that's asked God to help us and lead us. And but I'm thankful. I really am, church. And church, I hope and pray we never move from that mark. I hope until the Lord comes back, the Bible is just precious to all of us. So I do thank God for that this evening. I forgot to mention, Brother Windham, next Sunday night, if you're still interested in going to Peru, next year, we're going to have another meeting next Sunday evening. So just want to throw that out there also. So, all right, Proverbs chapter 16. Preacher, we've done been there. Well, we're going to start here and catch up a little bit again this evening. When our truck got broke into a few weeks ago, I lost my Bible, which was a prized possession to me. And still praying that the Lord let that thing show back up. And then I lost my laptop, which had about every note that I've had in the last 10 years, probably. But that's all right. Preacher, didn't you back it up? Apparently not, huh? All right, Proverbs chapter 16 this scene. If you can, let's stand together one more time, let you stretch your legs. And we'll work our way through this precious book tonight. Father, we love you. God, just thank you, Lord, again, Lord, for helping us. God, what a book we hold in our hands tonight. Lord, as we think about every word, every jot, every tittle, God, it's not of man's hands, as we're going to read here in a little bit, but it's the words from your mouth that we're going to partake of. And God, I pray for the next little bit, God, as we just sit around the table in fellowship through the Word of God, Lord, that you'd help us to grow. God, let the Word of God be so sweet upon our tongue. Let it be fresh upon our voices. And God, as we go throughout our days, God, help it to be the center of our thoughts. And Lord, we're going to praise you for what you do here tonight, Lord. And God, from the days ahead, Lord, you're just good to us. And God, we want you to have all the glory for it. For it's in Christ's precious name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, the book of Proverbs, we did a little refreshing a few weeks ago, and now we're going to try to get back into the meat of it. Again, the book of Proverbs, again, is one of those books that's it's hard to dissect as far as an outline, because there's just verse by verse, we have a lot of changing in different things. And again, this book of Proverbs, and you've heard me say it 100 times, and you'll probably hear me say it 100 times more before we finish this thing out. We read this book, again, we study this book, because this is the mind of God. This is His knowledge, His wisdom that He's given to us, His children. As we looked, as we began this study several weeks ago now, as a son and a father, as a father would speak and try to give that wisdom to his son. And, you know, I thought about, I had a, you know, I enjoyed being with my son some yesterday, and you know, he admitted this. He wished he'd listen to some of the things that I tried to get him to see. And I guess we're all that way, aren't we? If we look back on life, isn't it a whole lot easier to look back and say, I wish I would have listened? But we're all sort of like my son. We heard, but we decided not to listen. Amen. But the same thing with God. Most of this stuff, you know, again, we're here on a Sunday night. Most of these things aren't something that's foreign from your mind. You're here around the Word of God, but just because we know doesn't mean that we do. And so our desire is that as we study this, and again, this is that book, that if you read one chapter every day, you'll read the whole book in a month. So it's a very good everyday reading type of atmosphere there that you can take a hold of. So let's just go through these verses tonight and get our minds back here on the book of Proverbs and just see what the Lord has for us tonight. Verse number one, the Bible says, "And the preparation of the heart in man and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord." You know, like God wants your heart. That's what he tells us. He said, "Give me thine heart." The Bible also says, "Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You know what's wrong with most people's tongues? Is the heart is not right with God. The Bible also says tonight, now I know, you've heard me say it. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, I know my heart"? Well, I hate to differ, because God tells me I don't know my heart. The heart's, see, it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. But if we allow God to take our heart and clean it and shape it and form it. I'm not talking about the organ. I'm not talking about this pump that's in there pumping away as we sit here tonight. Our heart is our center, our being of what really of what we are and who we are. Tonight, where's your heart? Where tonight does your heart lie? And tonight, God wants to have our hearts. And tonight, if you'll give your heart to God, God will take that heart and he'll direct our paths. Aren't you glad that God took us out of that horrible pit, amen, and set our feet upon a rock, amen? And what did he do? What does the Bible say after that? He established our what? Our goings. And that's what we're going to see a lot in these scriptures tonight, is about direction, about our goings. And God wants our heart. And there's much to be said about the heart this evening here in these verses and all throughout the book of Proverbs. Here in the same chapter, in verse number 9, it says, "A man's heart deviseth his way." Your heart is, again, what God says is what devises your way. It's what leads you in directions. And, again, I'm very logical. This isn't very hard to understand. If I've let God have my heart, he's going to lead me right. But if I've not given my heart unto the Lord, it's not going to be led in the right directions, is it? So verse 9 of this same chapter says, "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Aren't you glad tonight it's not based on our hearts? What God says is what God says, and what God says is right. It doesn't matter what we think or say. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24 says, "A man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" Boy, I've been there a lot of times. It's like, "Lord, I ain't got a clue what I'm doing." But he does. And see, that's the hard part for us to give him our heart, because why? Don't you like to drive? Boy, I'm telling you, some of the hardest days of my life was sitting in the passenger seat as my daughter drove. Or my son when I was trying to teach him to drive a straight drive. I had no control. But when God has my heart, I can say, I don't have to have the steering wheel. I don't have to have the brake pedal. I just know God will take care of it. And God will lead me where he wants me to be. And I'm okay. So, again, all about our hearts. Boy, I love this verse. I've prayed this as a prayer many times over my life. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Do you know tonight that the heart of our politicians, the heart of our president, the heart of the world is in God's hands? And as the rivers of water, he can turn that thing And he has before. Hey, he let the sun stand still. He turned time backwards. How much easier it is to take a man and move him. God's the one in control. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, the king's heart, I didn't read that one. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's a good place to be. To realize that it's God that orders our steps. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Tonight I want to say, church, if you'll just let God have your heart. Now that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? That means you got to cut every string. That means you got to pull up every anchor. That means you got to totally surrender and let God have your heart. And that's what he desires. My son, give me thy heart. Tonight God desires your heart. Why? Because he wants to take care of you. He wants to direct you. He wants to consume you. So we find here in verse 1 about the thoughts of the heart of man. Verse 2 is such a true verse. All the ways of a man are clean. Aren't you glad it didn't stop there? All the ways of a man are clean, what? In his own eyes. You know, that's one of the biggest troubles I find with people, is them admitting what they're doing is wrong. It's where David was there in Psalm chapter 51. David said, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. We need to realize that our ways are not right. So he tells us in verse 2, he says there again, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Again, it's so true that man wants to self-justify, but the Lord here, it says there again, it says in that latter part, the Lord weigheth what? The spirits. Notice that's a small s. That's not the Holy Ghost. There's many spirits. But God weigheth what's in that man. God weigheth, and we're going to find how he weighs things here in just a moment. So the Lord knows, and thank God for that. And he's fair about it, and he's right. You know, again, I guess it's always been this way. I don't know, but I've dealt with it since I've been in the ministry. People want to think out of their heart. What do you mean, preacher? You just talked about that heart. We want to think how out of our flesh. You know, it's so easy to be drawn into somebody's circumstances or somebody's situations, and they'll make us feel in such a way that we want to side with them. But listen, you better stay with this book. You know, don't let your flesh or your mind get you away from, you know, just again, why do you think on TV they show you those poor little kids over there and want you to bring money in? They're showing you that to get a hold of your emotions. They're trying to get a hold of your conscience and, you know, make you feel bad. And you got to be careful with that. You got to let God weigh these things. And here's this truth that we have in the Word of God. Verse number 3 this evening. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And again, we get this, the world gets this so backwards. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, the world wants you to twist that thing around and get your thoughts on things, and then that'll determine your work. When you've got your mind on the work of God, he'll take your thoughts and take care of those needs there. So, again, this is something that works. God wants us to commit. Have you committed your works unto the Lord? Well, preacher, I'm a cabinet maker. How can I commit making cabinets unto the Lord? The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to his glory. He needs cabinet makers that love God. He needs carpenters that love God. He needs bankers. He needs doctors. He needs lawyers that have taken the work that they do and they use that work for his glory. So commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Verse number 4 this evening, the Lord hath made all things. You believe that? Do you? What about all these bad things? Did God make that? Does God make bad? Sure he does. The devil himself, who made him? God made him. The Lord, the Bible says, hath made all things for what? Himself. Do you know you're made for him? You're wonderfully and fearfully made. Why? For the Lord. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. We serve a big God. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. All things were made. And again, I've dealt with people and we've heard these things of why God allows these things to happen. Why does, you got to remember, sin has worked for thousands of years in the hearts of men. We got to see that man is controlled. Man is run through that mill of sin. And we're at where we are because of sin. Verse number 5 this evening. Everyone, again, very clear. It's not just some, it's anyone. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride. Again, everyone that is proud in heart. We just looked at heart, didn't we? I want God to have my heart. And if God has my heart, pride will not be an issue. Why? Because I give all the glory to God, good or bad. Everyone that is proud in heart is what? An abomination. Remember what that word means? Makes God sick. Pride. Is that not what got the devil in where he is? Pride. Says, I will, I will, I will. That pride. Everyone, again, it's individual. And I believe verse 5 is so needed in our day because mamas and dads, as your youngins ever come to you and wanted to do something and you told them no and this is what came out of their mouth. Well, everybody else is doing it. Anybody? Now let's back up even further. Wonder how many times we did that when we were young. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, look what this verse says. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's a non-question. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You know what people try to do? It happens in church all the time. Somebody gets a little ruffled in their feathers. Something happens they don't like. You know what they do? They sure don't come to the preacher. What do? They go to somebody else to yak to. Get them on their side. Draw them into their thoughts. Hello? That's what happens a lot of times. You get a phone call from somebody and says, you can't believe what that preacher did or what that church didn't do or this or that. So what happens? It becomes a roller coaster of effect and it starts to build. That's that hand in hand. You, even though that you get a group of people that says, you're right, you're okay, they're wrong, you're right. God says it doesn't matter if you got a crowd, if you build up your side, if you got a team, God says they'll go. They won't go unpunished. God knows. Everybody else might sucker into it, but God didn't. God knows. So be careful. Verse 6. Verse 6 is such a truth that I really believe. I wish we could get a hold of this thing. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We need both of them. You can't just have mercy and you can't just have truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Not just mercy, not just truth, but the both of them. In my preaching, I've got to preach truth. But with that truth, I must show mercy. Aren't you glad God showed mercy? He showed me truth. I deserved hell. But He showed me mercy by giving me eternal life because of His Son. In our teaching, in our witnessing, we've got to be truthful. Don't sidestep truth. Man needs truth. But with that truth, always, 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 always have mercy as you speak truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. There will not be the purging of iniquity without truth and without mercy. It takes both. And then the latter part of that verse, it says, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. They will not depart because of a head knowledge. Man will not change his ways until he gets that place of the fear of God. And we've looked at that fear of God. We've looked at that reverent side of fear, but there's also a trembling side of fear. You know, as long as mom, daddy or mama, I thought they didn't know, I was pretty good with things. But when I realized daddy and mama knew, things wasn't real good. You might think God don't know. You might think you're getting away with something. But God knows. And you better fear God. Reverently and trembling. And until a man fears the Lord, there'll not be any departing from that sin. Again, what keeps man honest? Apparently not a locked truck and the wind is rolled up. The old saying, a lock's just for the honest person. Somebody wants to break into your house, I don't care what you got, they're going to break in. Anybody speed on the way to church? Don't tell me. Sign says you're supposed to run 35, did you? Miss Verna, you all right? It's not me you need to fear. It's that guy with the blue light. That sign says all day long, 35, 35, 35. That sign don't scare nobody, does it? Just by having truth, until you fear God, you won't live that the right way there. Verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that amazing? You see it all through David's life. David, there's many enemies that he would have, but as we look at that thought there, that when a man's ways please the Lord, boy, don't you want to please God? You know, I always, as a boy, wanted to please my daddy and my grandpa. I wanted them to be proud of me. I wanted them to know that I loved them, and I wanted to do what they wanted me to do. But how much more should I want God to have that? And I want my ways to please God. And when my ways please God, he tells us here that, he says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's amazing. Verse number 8 this evening. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenue without right. I'd rather have Jesus. But boy, the day, isn't it? Get all you can, get all you can. How many people, and probably some of us tonight, have sold out our work for God because we wanted another dollar? Happens all the time. Verse number 9 this evening. We read this verse earlier. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And tonight, if you'll let God direct your steps, listen, we get too big a hurry. One of the biggest problems in people's lives is they want an answer now. When we realize that God is the one that directs our steps, and again, I'm not perfect by no means, but I've tried in my life to not want to move until God told me to move, not to step until God said to step, or God to stop before God wanted me to stop. Let Him direct your paths, and He'll do that. Verse number 10 this evening. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. And I know that king there is not a capital K, but that has to be God they're talking about. Why? Because look what it says again. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. That could not be man. Why? Because man's judgments are not always right. But I promise you tonight, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, His judgments is always true and always right. Verse number 11, this is so true tonight. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. You know, He's always fair. He's always truthful. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. When God measures out something, it's measured right. Man's not that way. You know, God hates crooked dealings. You know what? Probably I heard a preacher say this one time. And when he said it, I thought, that don't sound right. But after I got to thinking what he said, I said, I understand what he means. You know who one of the hardest things I've dealt with? I dealt with a man and his son that they were brick masons. And they'd done some work for a church. And that church wouldn't pay their bill. Ain't that a terrible testimony? That preacher says, you know, you ever seen anybody advertise in their advertisements that they're Christian? That's scary. God hates wrong dealings. And if you're going to advertise your Christianity in your business, you better be right. Because I promise you, that man and his son that I talked to that were brick masons that the church wouldn't pay their bill, they didn't want anything to do with church or God. What a bad taste in their mouths. But aren't you glad tonight that God never makes a mistake? Aren't you glad tonight that God always weighs out the truth? Verse number 12 this evening. It's an abomination, that ought to get our attention, to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. God just wants people to do right. Don't you wish our, you know, I mean, Brother Wyndham was talking earlier today, and I don't know why we run there so many times, not just me and Wyndham, but, you know, we talk about politics and the mess. There's not a lot of difference between a Democrat and Republican and whatever else is up there. Wouldn't it be amazing if that crowd would just get right with God? God can, I know that. But God just wants people to do right. Verse number 13 this evening. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Do you know people respect truth? That's what I used to tell parents and stuff. Don't lie to your kids. Tell them the truth. They'll respect truth. You lie to them, you're a liar then. How are they going to trust you? You lied to them. Everybody all right? Speak truth. It's what God wants. Verse 14 this evening. The wrath of a king is a messenger of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And again, that thought of power there and that thought of the wrath of that king. And boy, I know there's a king that has a wrath. And this world is going to feel his wrath one of these days. Verse 15 this evening, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. And again, this has to be because I don't care who the king is, the king of England, he can't give me life. The king of whatever country you might name, they can't give life, but I know a king that does give life, and his name's King Jesus. And then it talks about that verse there. It talks about that latter rain. It talks about that thought there refers to the blessings of the Lord to the earth and His people when He returns. There's going to be a latter rain. Things aren't always going to be this way. God's going to come back to this earth and set something up that's right and perfect. And he's going to rule it there with that rod. So we see that king in his latter reign. Verse 16, this scene, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Would you take gold over wisdom? A lot of people do. Hey, you can buy your way into college for about $500,000, they say. If I had $500,000, I wouldn't want to care if my kid went to school or not. Just me. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Can you truly say that tonight? Again, where do we get wisdom from? Hello? Are you fortune cookie today at lunch? Is that where you get wisdom? Where do you get wisdom from? From the Lord. That's more precious than gold. And to get understanding, rather to be chosen than silver. Tonight, that's the place that we need to get to, that we desire God's wisdom and his knowledge greater than earthly treasures, greater than the affairs of man. So, a great truth. Verse 17, this evening, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. That's a good highway to get on. Get on that road. Don't look back either. When you get on that road away from evil, don't look backwards. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Don't turn around. And last of all, this season, verse number 18 and 19, pride goeth before destruction. This is sort of the accumulation of probably all the verses that we've looked at tonight. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I would rather be right with God. And listen, that doesn't mean you have to be poor. That doesn't mean you can't have money. God has blessed many of rich people over the years. But not all of them. Most time money is their king and their God. But tonight, God gives the warning that pride goeth before destruction. That pride gets more pride again is two sides of the street. Pride is that haughtiness of look at me who I am. But pride also is that, oh, poor me. That's also pride. And when that pride comes, there'll be destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit. Better. With the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Tonight, let's ask the Lord, just give me Jesus. He'll take care of all my needs. He promised to direct my paths. He promised to take care of me. And tonight, if you'll let God, he'll do the same for you. Again, a great book. The wisdom, the knowledge, the truth of God. What saith the Scriptures? Again, not what man thinks. Remember that verse? Hand in hand. You know, there's many a churches. Again, we're not perfect. If you think we're perfect, come see me. I'll tell you plenty that's wrong with me. There's many a churches. They come together. I'm glad we're, and again, I got to be careful because this could be prideful if I say this the wrong way. I'm thankful we're an independent Baptist church. Amen. I'm glad I don't belong to an association that pulls the churches together and let's vote on if the King James Bible is the Bible. They do it and have done it. Well, let's vote and see if homosexuality is all right. They've done it. Let's vote and see if it's okay to have women preachers. They've done it. Boy, I didn't get much response on that one, Brother David. The Bible still says that a preacher is the husband of one wife. Hello. But just because an association or a group or whatever they want to call themselves vote and say, we say homosexuality is okay. They put hand in hand and says, we think it's okay. Do you think God cares what they think? Why? Because it goes against the Bible. I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus. Let's stand together this evening.